what the unjust judge says? And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, we know the power of prayer, so we pause to acknowledge your presence with us today, to acknowledge that you are in your word, making it come alive. May we be receptive. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and Redeemer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, Jesus had a thing about widows. He tells a story about a woman who lost her husband. She loses a lot more than that. The law takes away all her husband's assets from her and assigns them to the male children of her family, or if she has no male children, then to the male members of her husband's family. But the law also says that she must be provided for. The men own the property, but she's allowed to continue to live in her house. They have the money, but out of that money, she should be provided a means for her living. In her case, half the law was followed. The male members of her husband's family got everything she owned. Now, I can't conceive that she has children that would do this to her. Probably what happened is there were no children, so the husband's male members of the family got all her wealth. And the other half of the law of providing for her, they simply ignored, kept the money for themselves, and gave her not a penny of it. Well, she's not one to take this lying down. This is a feisty one, it is. She goes to court to plead her case. Clearly, others have gotten to the judge before her. Clearly, someone has paid him off. Because we know something about him. He could care less about this woman's cause. He can be bought off. We know he's in a position of power only for himself. So he hears his plea for justice, and then he bangs his gavel on the desk and exclaims, "Case dismissed." In other words, lady, you are dismissed. Next case. Well, that's the way it was back then. Judge has all the power. She, a widow, has none. He can strip her of all her dignity, treat her as a nobody, and then go home and sleep well. Usually he gets away with it, but not in this case. Remember the song, Me and Bobby McGee, the words, "Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose." This woman is free, nothing to lose. So she doesn't settle for the verdict. She refuses to be dismissed. She will not be stripped of her rights without a fight. So the next morning she shows up in court. She puts her name on the docket, and when her turn comes up to appear before the judge, he motions the bailiff. Next case, leaves her standing there as though she was a nothing. Most people would give up. The cards are stacked so much against her, and what's the use of trying? But she has nothing to lose, remember? So she shows up the next day. "You're going to remember me, judge, because I'm going to be here in your courtroom every single day until you rehear my case and give me what's my due." Now, someone taught her, maybe it could be her mother, that she was not a nobody. She was a somebody, and that no one has the power to take that somebody status from her. So time and again, she shows up in court, only to be ignored by the judge. So she stakes herself out at the court front steps early in the morning when the judge shows up for work. Day after day, the judge is tired of being harangued by her, so he slips in the back way to avoid her. But one night, he's up there washing the dishes at home. He looks out the window, and there she is staring at him. Barely visible, but certainly recognizable there in the dark. He closes the blinds and leaves the sink and knows that this is more of a fight than he's up for. He leaves in the morning, there at the front gate. Guess who's there? She's still there. She follows him all the way to court saying, "I want what is lawfully mine. I want my rights." So finally, he gives in. And here's what he says, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps pestering me, I will grant her justice so that she will not wear me out by continually coming." That's a mild translation. In the Greek, it's a boxing term, those last words about continually coming. Actually, the words are, "so she will not keep jabbing and giving me a black eye." Continual jabbing. Remember the famous fight between big, hulking Sonny Liston back in the old days and that lightweight Cassius Clay known as Muhammad Ali? You know, Sonny was this kind of massive boxer who always pounded his opponents to the canvas. And in the ring, the much lighter Cassius Clay kept dodging his swings this way and that way and dancing around trying to get out of the way. But whenever Sonny would let down his guard, he would jab, you know, with that right hand, he'd just jab. Every time he had an opportunity, he'd sit back and with his long arms just keep jabbing at it, jabbing until finally, as the fight went on, Sonny couldn't see. His eye was puffed up and bleeding. And so he had to give up the match. And this lighter boxer won by his constant jabbing. Well, this widow was a fighter who knew a lot about successive repeating punches that can create a black eye. And this judge would have a hard time showing up in court explaining how he got a black eye. So, let's face it, when we're down and out, when life has thrown us a ringer, when people are putting us down, pray, Jesus says. Pray and keep praying that you not lose heart. He's speaking to a discouraged group of people. Now, we can choose to accept defeat by lying down. We can choose with being overwhelmed by bad news to simply throw our hands up. But God did not create you and me as people who throw our hands up. We are, after all, not nobodies. Even when the odds are so much against us, we can still stand up for what we believe. Did you hear First Lady Michelle Obama's speech this week? How many of you heard that speech? Now, it was a speech of outrage. It was a speech not of a politician, but a mother of two daughters. She is appalled, she is shocked, she is angry, she says, at what is coming across the political airwaves. And whatever political persuasion you might be, and I know many of us are the heck with politics persuasion at this point, but we couldn't help be moved, could you, by this woman speaking from her heart. Pray, Jesus says, keep praying that we not lose heart. Yesterday, your leadership met together at Williamson Road Church of the Brethren for a little retreat. And the question at the retreat is, what is your passion? As Christians and members of Trinity Lutheran Church, what do you care about the most? We want to make a difference. We were saying one by one. We want our church to be a church that serves others in need in the name of Christ. Granted, the needs around us are so massive and so many, it's easy for us to lose heart. Who are we to make any difference? But yesterday we declared we will not lose heart. We want to be a church that continues to care regardless of the odds that we face. Sherry Jordan then told a story about how touched a family was, a family she didn't even know, but through another person, they received a prayer shawl that was made by a member here and then blessed by us, about how much it moved this family, a single act of thoughtfulness right at the time that they had a significant loss, made a difference for them. So we decided that we would strengthen our faith and arts ministry, that love can win out over our indifference through little acts that we can do as we involve the congregation in lots of little acts, that love can win out over apathy. We talked about the number of school-aged children in our very neighborhood here around the church who are having insufficient food, who are malnourished because their families do not have the income to provide sufficiently for them. You know that our own Round Hill Elementary School, almost all the children, 90% of the children, are at a poverty level where they are eligible for free lunch. And the question is, what do they eat in the summertime and on weekends? It just so happens that the Williamson Road churches are thinking about them and thinking that one church can't make a difference, but if five or six of us come together, we can do packed lunches for long weekends and maybe build from there. And the way God works through us, who knows what comes from a simple beginning as we care, as we show some compassion for those around us. Talked about how members of our own church who are homebound sometimes get overlooked. That hurts, doesn't it? That just because our lives get busy, someone is no longer able to come, and we might have them in our prayers, but eventually they sort of are off in the periphery. I, as a pastor, could certainly visit a lot more, but they need to hear from the congregation, too, that they're not forgotten. We've got about, 10 or so people who once were active but are homebound. Do they hear from us? Well, we had to do some soul searching. In the parable that Jesus tells today, he makes it very clear that God is not the uncaring judge in the story, but just the opposite. Jesus says God has a big heart that goes out to all who call on his name. And I think that God is more like the persistent widow in this story. I think the heart that he's trying to wake up is the heart of the church. Have you ever thought of that? That it's our door he's banging on. And the jabs that God keeps jabbing at us are the opportunities, the cries of those around us who are in deep need. Opportunities we have to serve and make a difference in the lives of others. And these opportunities keep coming up and won't go away. They're a wake-up call. Oh, we declare today we're not nobodies. We're somebodies in the sight of God, and somebodies who are baptized, chosen, called, empowered to put our faith into action. So on one level, Scripture says about today's parable, about keeping faith for the second coming of Christ. Well, you know the first coming was. He was born in a stable in Bethlehem. They say the second coming is when he's born in our hearts. So people of Trinity, we just might be pregnant.